Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you. Last week, I got an email. And not the kind of email you want to receive. It was from our NBN provider informing us that the cost of our plan would be increasing by $5 a month. Now, that's not the biggest jump in the world, but it's the latest in a series of increases which has seen our plan rise from $60 a month to $80 a month in just under 2 years. Not ideal, to say the least. And it's probably something that almost everyone listening will have experienced as well. So on today's episode, we are going to try and address a simple question. How can you go about getting a better deal on your home internet or mobile phone plan? Luckily, our guest today is someone who probably knows more about this subject than almost anyone else in the country. It's telco expert and managing editor of Whistle Out Australia, Alex Horosh. Alex, welcome back to the podcast. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You're very welcome. Alex, to start off, can you paint us a picture of the telco landscape? Most people probably know about the likes of Telstra and Optus and Vodafone, but how many other mobile and internet providers are actually out there?
The industries are a lot bigger than most Australians would think. So at Whistle Out, we track 31 different mobile providers and 28 internet providers. But beyond that, there's still even more small options around. According to NBN Co, there's over 100 different companies that resell NBN in Australia. Some of those are, you know, just like business focused, like business to business. Others have like really niche specialties like regional Australia. But there's a lot of providers to pick from. You're not just limited to the big three.
I'm really glad you said that and gave us that scope because that was me for a very long time thinking that, you know, my options were relatively limited. So that's the who, but I'm also interested in the how, Alex, as in how does it all work in terms of retailers versus the companies that own the infrastructure?
So in the mobile space, Telstra, Optus, and Vodafone own the three mobile networks in Australia. No matter what company you're buying a plan from, you're always going to end up on one of those three networks. For example, Belong, it's actually owned by Telstra, but operates on the Telstra network. Aldi Mobile, Woolworths Mobile, they're on the Telstra network. On the Optus network, you've got providers like Coles, Maysim, Moose Mobile, Aussie Broadband sell their mobile brands on the Optus network. And then on Vodafone, you've got providers like Lebara, Kogan, iiNet, TPG. So like you're always kind of getting on one of those main networks. With Telstra, it's a little bit tricky in that doesn't offer most providers access to its full network. So there's a slightly smaller coverage footprint for people who are on Belong or Woolworths Mobile versus with Telstra itself. But that only tends to affect the furthest reaching points of its network. So its space should still be fine for that 99% of Australians who have a Telstra plan. It's a little bit more complicated when it comes to the NBN space as like by and large. So everyone's reselling the NBN where the core product comes from, NBN Co. So like everyone's a reseller. But on top of that, you're kind of factoring in providers need to buy things like transit and backhaul, which are effectively connecting customers from the NBN to the wider internet. Some companies like Telstra and Aussie Broadband own at least some of the infrastructure that allows this, whereas others need to pay other companies such as Telstra and Aussie Broadband to use this. Like Vocus, for example, they own a lot of infrastructure. They also own Dodo and iPrimus, but they also have a large wholesale business where they sell other providers a complete NBN package. So you can essentially just buy this package from Vocus and become an NBN provider, which is one of the reasons there's so many different NBN providers. And so all these things like backhaul and transit and CVC, they're kind of the things that make up how faster plan is. From a consumer's perspective, the brand itself isn't always the biggest issue. It's what the plan comes with. However, the indicator of like whether a provider has enough capacity to talk to the wider internet comes from what we call typical evening speeds, which is how fast the plan is going to be in peak hours. These have improved a lot lately, so now even cheaper plans are getting, you know, as much as congestion-free speeds during the busiest parts of the day, but it's one of the things to consider. And then there's other things like that are a lot harder to qualify. Service. You know, some providers have a really good reputation for customer service like Aussie Broadband, but then you might look at the product reviews for one of the major telcos and the feedback's going to be very mixed. And like, I think it's always fair to take that with a grain of salt because, you know, you often don't talk to your telco unless there's a problem. And you're only really leaving a review if you've had a very bad or a very good experience, not if you just had a just okay. But, you know, like there are so many different ways just to like look at what provider's right for you based on like a lot of different variables.
Well, let's get into that then, Alex, a little bit more. So if I am, you know, hypothetically fed up with a particular NBN provider because of a recent email that I got, and let's just throw in my mobile provider as well, what else should I be thinking about when it comes to comparing plans on top of what you've already mentioned?
What do you care about the most? Like that's kind of a question where we need to start. In the NBN space, are you looking, what was the problem? Are you looking for a cheaper price, a faster speed, better customer service? It's unlikely you're going to get better customer service and faster speeds for a lower price, unfortunately, given the way business models work. But it's about like working out those priorities. So for example, Aussie Broadband, great reputation for customer service, but they're a lot pricier than a lot of other telcos. Conversely, you've got brands like Dodo, where you've got some of the best pricing on the market right now, but that brand doesn't have the same reputation for a customer support as Aussie Broadband does. Like I've not used Dodo's customer support, so I can't like comment whether they're good or bad. Like it's just like, you know, they don't have that same reputation where like Aussie Broadband's like won multiple Roy Morgan like satisfaction awards for its customer service. So yeah, not to call out Dodo or anything, just yeah, making it clear that, you know, Aussie Broadband's got for reputation, Dodo doesn't. So like it's about, and then like, you know, obviously price is a factor. So it's just like how much do you want to spend and like what speed do you want? NBN 50 plans recently got more expensive. So there's a question of, do you just spend a little bit more and go to an NBN 100 plan? Because right now, the difference between the two can be as little as $5 per month. And like, personally, I'd probably spend the $5 to get the faster internet, especially like if you've got a lot of devices at home. Or you can alternatively drop down to NBN 25, but that might not be the best experience if you're already like kind of reaching the limits of your connection. On the mobile front, like the big question first is, do you need a new phone? Because if you need a new phone and you want to buy it on a plan, which is really understandable when they cost, you know, as much as $2,000, if not more, then you're really limited to Telstra, Optus, and Vodafone. Their smaller providers don't sell phones on plan. But if you're happy to buy a phone outright, or if you've got a phone that's working and you own it and you're happy to keep it, then you've got access to a whole new world of smaller providers. By and large, offer better value.
Well, Alex, let's get into the idea of value for a second. So if you can, to give people, you know, a bit of an idea, a bit of a sense of what they could potentially be paying, what does a low-cost internet plan actually look like at the moment and who's offering them?
NBN 50 plans, which it tends to be the minimum I'd recommend, now start at around $60 per month, which that's with a discount. Most companies right now offer honeymoon discounts where you get a lower price for your first 6 months. Mm-hmm. After those first 6 months, you then like get bumped to the actual price, which is between $75 and $80 per month. Dodo, Exatel, Tangerine, and Spintel all have like plans within those ballparks and all like use that similar kind of honeymoon discount structure. All of these plans are contract free. So there is nothing keeping you with a provider after your honeymoon discount runs out. These companies do tend to rely on the fact that customers are sticky, and that's why they make these like offers. Like changing internet is kind of annoying, but like it just feels like a big enough mental hurdle that you might not want to change after the discount runs out, but it's really simple. Like last time I changed any of the providers, I was on my new connection like in a few hours. You know, if you really want to like work the system, changing every 6 months is the best way to keep getting the lowest price possible. But like I was saying earlier, it's really worth considering an NBN 100 plan, especially like, you know, if you've got a larger household, a lot of devices, or you just feel like you're kind of pushing the limits of an NBN 50 plan. You know, like we're using more data than ever. We're streaming more, we're downloading more. Video games have gotten bigger. Like if you're working from home, and with the recent wholesale price rises or price changes, while NBN 50 plans got more expensive, NBN 100 plans and faster came down in price, you're now looking at just around like a $5 difference to like get twice the speed. So if we go back to Dodo, you know, Dodo's charging $6 per month and then 80 per month at full price for NBN 50, or 64 per month and then 85 per month for NBN 100 after the discount runs up. That's a Whistleout exclusive deal. So you have to get that one for us, but $5 more isn't that bad when you're actually getting something more, I think. And especially if you are in a household that really like uses the internet a lot. The other option is 5G home internet. It's something we've seen becoming increasingly popular. And that pricing is a little bit more affordable compared to NBN. So like TPG, for example, has a $59 per month 5G home internet plan with the same speeds as NBN 50, or a $65 per month plan, I think $64.99 technically, plan that has NBN 100 speeds. And that pricing, like that's price. There's no promotional discounts. There's, you're not going to see that price go up in 6 or 12 months. At least in terms of there being a honeymoon discount. Most 5G home internet providers are still currently offering your first month free. So it's a kind of thing you can try out without getting rid of your NBN connection. If it works for you, then you can cancel your NBN. And if it doesn't, you haven't really risked anything.
And Alex, on the mobile side of things, if price is, you know, my main motivator again, where should I be looking for a low-cost deal at the moment?
If you already own your own phone, like smaller providers like TPG and iiNet will sell you plans for half price for the first 6 months. These start as little as $10 per month and still come with like decent data allowances around 8 gigabytes. The average Australian prepaid customer is only using 7.5 gigabytes per month. So an 8 gigabyte plan, it should be enough for a lot of people. There's providers like Moose Mobile and Amazon on the Optus network. Belong and Boost are great on the Telstra network. You can get plans around 20 gigabytes for under 30 per month. The average postpaid customer in Australia is using 16 gigabytes per month. So, you know, the average Australian doesn't really need more than a 20 gigabyte plan. And, you know, you look at Optus, Vodafone, and Telstra, they want to sell you, you know, at least 40, 50, 30 on their mainline plans. So, and then plans go as like, you know, 300 gigabytes, 500 gigabytes, like, and that's a lot of data.
That is a lot.
I'm sure some people use that, but the average Australian isn't it. And so I think the real key to finding a good deal is to right size your mobile plans to your usage. Check how much data you usage in like your telco's app or on their website. And then like try and find a plan with just like a little bit more data to give yourself a buffer, like especially if your usage change. You can like throw it into the Whistleout tool, and that will bring up a whole lot of plans from smaller providers that with that kind of data inclusion. And I think you'll be surprised by how cheap they can be.
Alex, I think that's a really, really excellent point about right sizing your plan. It's something that I kind of took the plunge with a couple of years ago, and it's worked out pretty well. I'm definitely not paying as much as I was back in the day. Our focus has very much been on Australia so far, but before we let you go, I really wanted to ask you about the kind of international side of things, given that so many people are, you know, traveling again, going overseas, you know, even for longer periods of time. So can you give us an idea of the options that Australians kind of currently have if they're wanting to stay connected while they are traveling overseas?
One of the positive trends I've seen recently is international roaming options have gotten better on smaller providers. A lot of the smaller providers on the Telstra network, like Belong, Boost, Tangerine, More, all now have like reasonably priced travel packs that kind of lasts between like 7 and 14 days, you're kind of looking at between somewhere between like 30 and 55 to buy that pack. And, you know, that gives you a couple gigs of data, a select amount of like text messages and phone calls. And so, you know, like it's, they're not the kind of thing where you can just like go ham and use your phone like with reckless abandon, like you might in Australia. But like, it's a lot better proposition than previously, where a lot of these companies were only doing pay-as-you-go roaming and you'd be looking at as much as $1,000 per gigabyte. So, like, it's worth checking what your provider's offering. Vodafone obviously still has its $5 per day roaming. Optus has its $5 per day roaming. Telstra has roaming is $10 per day, other than in New Zealand where it's $5 a day, but you get less data on Telstra. But obviously, like, $5 a day, $10 a day can add up if you're overseas for longer. I'm not good at quick maths, but I think like 14 days at $5 is $70. So it's always like when, if you're going to be away longer, it's worth considering local SIM cards. In a lot of countries, you know, in a lot of countries, you can just go to the airport, buy a SIM when you arrive, and especially good idea if you don't care about using your local number. And if you do need to use your local number, you can always just have the option of only turning on roaming on days where, you know, you want to check your messages and or make a phone call, and then just rely on like your international SIM for most of your trip. Or if you have a phone with eSIM, there's now many services that will sell you SIM cards online for destinations. For what I've used quite a bit is called Airalo, and it has like SIM cards you can download direct to your phone for pretty much any way you can think of. Your pricing is in US dollars. You're normally looking at around some, like it varies from destination to destination, but the ballpark is around 30 US dollars for somewhere between like around 10 gigabytes with a 30 day expiry. And I think for a lot of trips, that works pretty well. They also have, you can regional SIM, so you can get a SIM that covers all of Europe. Or if you say just going to just Italy, you can buy a cheaper SIM that will only work in Italy. The caveat is these SIMs are data only, so you can't use them to make phone calls. But, you know, you obviously you can still use like FaceTime people or use calls in Messenger and WhatsApp.
So plenty more options than there used to be, at least when I started going overseas. Alex, I'm sure there are hundreds of other questions I could ask you about the mobile and home internet space, but we are sadly running out of time today. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, we'll be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.